Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Hearing right now,
other than music,
that buzzing sound in the background. This is video, allegedly, of a shooting war going on in Mexico right now. I saw some of the articles, the headlines earlier tonight, but Joe, you just pulled up this crazy video of like tracer bullets in the night sky.
High capacity glowing.
Yeah, of some kind of, you know, actual shooting going on in Mexico, and it's not just that they're allegedly shooting at airplanes. Apparently, what happened was the son of El Chapo, who you may remember from a few years ago, El Chapo was sort of one of the more noteworthy or notorious drug lords down in Mexico. He was arrested by, I believe, the United States.
Yeah, after being doxxed by Sean Penn.
And now apparently his son has been arrested, and it's turned into some sort of all out. An actual drug war is actually happening. By the way, with you here tonight, it's Ian.
Joa.
And Reed Coverdale.
Reed, have you been seeing any of this news about this crazy stuff happening in Mexico?
I was just seeing it like a few seconds before we went live again. So, yeah, I haven't been able to dig into it yet. I just saw what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, apparently it's the Mexican military and police, federal police forces versus the drug cartels in an actual armed conflict. I mean, you hear a lot about the quote-unquote war on drugs, but it's usually just the government using its violence to suppress drugs, which are an inanimate object, and the people that are trying to move them from one place to another. It is rare that the drugs or those that actually sell those drugs will actually fight back in this war.
Yeah,
Very rare.
I'm curious what El Chapo's son is being arrested for. Like, I would assume it would be something like murder versus the drug dealing. And now it's getting out of hand. Actually, the clip that you were playing was the Mexican military
firing
at residential
really?
Where they suspected cartels. That was from a helicopter. Yeah,
it looked to me like the shots were coming from the ground.
Nope. Or I'm showing you the clip right now. That's clearly coming from the sky from the helicopter.
Yeah, okay.
But the Mexican cartel is firing at not just military planes trying to leave the airport, but also passenger flights, allegedly. You just saw a bunch of people in the airplane ducking and hiding underneath
wow.
their seats. But what's even crazier is that the cartel is in desperate need of medical, so they are kidnapping nurses and doctors from the local hospital to go help.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. There's a lot of crazy clips right now at Libertarian Party Mises Caucus on Twitter. That's where I'm seeing it.
Yeah, apparently they're getting video from the cartels and publishing some of this. Cartel members firing a Barrett M82A1 anti-material rifle at a Mexican Air Force planes leaving the runway. There's another video of the Mexican army being ambushed in another place in Mexico. So this is pretty pretty wild, and I guess this just exploded within the last 24 hours, so it's definitely a developing story. And of course, you know, the takeaway here is none of this would be happening if drugs were legal.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is one of the oldest libertarian positions, and it's one of the most valid, one of the most absolutely, you know, right on positions that the libertarians have had and continue to have, and sadly are the only people that have.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of bloodshed in the streets is going to convince people to legalize drugs, unfortunately, even though that's the obvious solution here.
I thought Joe Biden was a champion for legalizing drugs. That's what all the Democrats told me.
At no point. Where did that even come from?
Like, because he signed that executive order that makes it so you can go to Canada again if you got caught for, like, menial possession, like, 20 years ago. So, you know, that's basically legalizing drugs.
Yeah, right.
I guess he did pardon people for marijuana possession of a federal level, right? So, like, right. That did happen.
Which, like,
last year.
Almost none of those people were in jail anymore.
That's true.
I mean, that's why I was saying you can go to Canada now. That was basically the biggest penalty that still existed for you. You couldn't go to Canada, and now you can. But why would you want to go to Canada over the
last year? I wouldn't want to get the COVID shot to get there.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it's gotten a lot worse.
They're just trying to kill these people.
You know, if you want to comment on this situation down there in Mexico, you're certainly welcome to do that. But you know, it's the war on drugs that has put us in this position. It's the war on drugs that has resulted in the shots being fired at various different people, people being caught in the crossfire here. It's not the drugs' fault. Drugs are just something that people are going to do. Yeah. You know, they're going to pay whatever price they need to make sure they can get their drugs, and that's why these cartels are so powerful, because they're willing to take the risk of going up against the Mexican army or the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration or whatever other opposition, the police, the sheriffs, and all them. They're willing to risk that, you know, possible time in prison for selling this product that people want to buy, voluntarily.
Not that I support the cartels, but I think they're going to win. And the reason why is because I don't think the Mexican government wants to deal with a bunch of casualties over one person. They would rather, this is just ethically speaking, would you rather try to harbor this one guy that's really bad, allegedly, supposedly, and allow a bunch of innocent people, military, and you know, just citizens of Mexico to start dying over one person? No. They should release him immediately before this becomes a massive tragic event. And I think it may already be massively tragic.
Yeah, how many people have died already in this?
I'm going to guess hundreds already.
I mean, was it worth it?
No.
This one guy?
Not at all.
I mean, is it going to stop? Is it going to stop the flow of drugs anywhere
to
take this guy down?
Not at all.
And the reason why is because he's got a lieutenant, right? Like, he's got a right-hand man, and you can take that guy down, and he's got a right-hand man. And, like, there's always going to be somebody who's willing to fill the shoes of the drug kingpin.
And if anything, it can make it stronger. It'll make it stronger and stronger and stronger.
There's video here of a prison break. So, I mean, you want to talk about ballsy.
Yeah.
These guys, the cartel, apparently, is outside of a jail in Culiacan jail. And I presume that is where El Chapo's son is being held. So now you literally have an assault on an actual prison to try to break somebody out of prison. I mean, this is one of the libertarian fantasy stories, right? To have an armed force. I don't know if this guy's innocent.
Well, I'm just saying.
He's probably a bad guy, but, you know, the government's bad guys, too. So it's like, I don't feel bad about these things happening. You know, you work for the government, you're working for a force of evil. And now another evil force is turning on you. Because they were fine if you just let them do, you know, let them do their drug dealing and everything, and they leave you alone for the most part. But now you go and you capture the drug dealer's son, and now they're pissed.
It seems like it's a full-on sort of roundup, because they are doing house-to-house raids right now.
On alleged drug kingpin type members?
I guess in the whole area. I mean, here's some footage for you. Yeah. And they're just going house to house, fully armed, not really well uniformed up. Mm-hmm. And
how do you even know who those people are?
You really don't.
Right? Perfect opportunity for a home invasion. If you want to comment here, the number is 603-283-6160. It's the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. Their Twitter handle is LP Mises Caucus. They're the ones that have a thread going on right now. There's posts within the last 20 minutes here of fresh, just insane violence, explosions, drone footage, vehicles being set on fire, supply lines ambushed, just absolutely crazy stuff. So as this continues to develop, if you are watching it closely and you want to clue us in on what's going on, I know there's a lot of expatriates down there in Mexico. You know, are you seeing this actually happen where you are? And do you want to comment? Feel free to join us here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Meanwhile, we were talking about January 6th, which looks nothing like what we're seeing happening in Mexico right now, where there's an actual assault on a prison, amongst other things. But, Reed, you were talking about, you know, the ridiculousness of people acting like that January 6th was in any way, shape, or form an insurrection, or that any violence happened outside of the police themselves shooting an innocent woman to death. Other comments, you're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just healthy for people to remember that Alec Baldwin killed more people than the January 6th protesters did.
And so. He's not in prison.
Exactly.
No, that gun just went off. I mean,
that's true.
It's because he pulled the trigger is why it went off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like he doesn't think we know how a single action revolver works. You kind of have to have the hammer pulled back and pull the trigger to make it just go off. But, yeah, I don't know. It's also funny. I'm excited because January 6th, the entire day, I just blow it way out of proportion to, you know, downplay it against the media's best wishes. I remember last year, Kamala Harris said, like, December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021 are all days that will live in infamy. But when you were pulling up those videos of what's going on down in Mexico, I almost said, wow, it's almost as bad as January 6th.
Man. And by the way, El Chapo's son is being arrested because of an order from the United States.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
For drug smuggling.
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Mexico could have just simply ignored that, right? They could have said, you know, this is probably not going to be in our best interests. This guy, you know, he's got his issues, but we know this is literally a powder keg. And now look.
Yeah.
Didn't Trump just say recently he was going to declare war on the cartels? He's president.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's been a tough talker on drug enforcement the whole time. He's been by no means has he been kind to even, you know, even marijuana decrim or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I mean, the Republicans, this should have been the easiest silver platter for them in history. Like, everybody hates COVID mandates. Everyone just wants to be left alone. And instead, they're like, we are going to execute, we're going to fast track trials for drug dealers, and we're going to execute them. That's what we stand for as Republicans. Like, wow, nice.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Will they ever learn? I don't think they will.
Why they get kickbacks from Big Pharma? Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to learn, because, like, it doesn't matter if half of Mexico gets set on fire, or even if this spills into to the United States as well. They'll just use this as the excuse to say, see, this is why the DEA needs 10 times the budget than what they currently have. We've got cartel members. They're attacking us. Clearly, we need more money to be funneled into this war on drugs so we can fight it and finally win the war on drugs after 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, or however the hell long it was. I guess it's officially started in the 70s, but cannabis was prohibited in the 30s, of course. So
hey, whatever the U.S. government's smoking, I want some.
Man, I don't know about that.
I know, you're right.
I want to turn into one of these people.
No, for real.
But, you know, it's not going to matter. I mean, there's incredible destruction going on in Mexico right now over this insane war on drugs. And people are just going to dig further into their positions. I wish I was more optimistic about it. I wish I could believe that seeing this happening, people would say, you know what, we need to end the war on drugs. Take the drugs out of the hands of the cartels and put them in the hands of people who want to actually provide a product or service peacefully to their neighbors. Because that's who would be selling meth. That's who would be selling cocaine. That's who would be selling, you know, all these things. You could go down to Walgreens and you could buy a bottle of meth or whatever right off the shelf. That's the way it ought to be. That would solve this entire problem.
You could defund the cartels by legalizing drugs.
Instantly. It would literally be overnight. They would then, if you legalize drugs completely, they would have, the only other things they could do as a cartel would be traffic in anything else that's prohibited. So if they couldn't traffic in drugs, then they might traffic in guns. And of course, if you have guns that are legal as well, then they can't traffic in guns, so then they could maybe traffic in prostitution or gambling or something like that. But the more things that are, you know, victimless so-called crimes that we can end the prohibition of, the fewer things the gangs can control. It's right. Just that simple.
And yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously I'm talking to, you know, talking to the choir here. But if you think that this war on drugs can somehow be won, that all you need to do is spend a few more $1 trillion, because I'm pretty sure we're into the trillion territory since the 1970s inside the United States. And despite all of that money being spent, despite the millions of people in the United States that have been put behind bars and continue to be put behind bars for possession and or selling of drugs, drugs are just as available as they've ever been. They're not going to go away. And I mean, why it is that Republicans or Democrats have not realized this and made a change on this? Like, even some of the cops have come around. You know, you've got Law Enforcement Against Prohibition that renamed themselves, by the way. They're now, I believe, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, because they're no longer just against prohibition, but they're also against, like, police militarization and things like that. So kudos to those guys. So you got some actual cops who've come out. We've heard of retired DEA agents who've come out and said, told the truth, like, there was a guy that got prosecuted, a DEA agent recently we discussed on the show within the last few months. He got prosecuted for some corruption. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And then before he checked into prison, he did like an exclusive interview where he just laid it all out there. And he said, yeah, we all know this is BS. Everybody in the DEA knows that the drugs, you can never stop it. We know that this is pointless. But we do it anyway because, well, it's how we get paid.
And one of my favorite former law enforcement from Never Get Busted.
Barry Cooper.
He just started up his vlogging.
He's doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's great. I love listening to him. He's a straight shooter on all this. And, you know, he's been calling them all out. And he probably feels safe about where he's doing it in the Philippines. So,
is he in the Philippines now?
Yes, he's been in the Philippines for like 5 years.
Really? Because the last I heard, he was in Puerto Vallarta, so he left there.
Well, I guess he went to visit, but yeah, he's been in Philippines. His wife is from there, and
his new wife. Okay.
Yeah, and it's not hard to live there, because it's
there's a psychopath running that country too. I mean, what's his name? We talked about him during the 2016 election. Duterte, the president there, they call him the Trump of the Philippines. Do you know anything about this guy?
No, I don't.
Have you ever heard about Duterte, Reed?
I haven't.
I heard there's a lot of like assassinations on mayors and that sort.
He was a mayor previously, and he's like a total psychopath who has actually, allegedly, according to one of his men from back in the day, he's allegedly done actual executions himself, like shot people to death. Like, wow. He is a lunatic.
Nice.
So, he did some, when he got elected down there, he was even more, like, hardcore as far as what he would be willing to say than even Trump was. Like, you know, you had the whole grabber by the, you know, thing that happened with Trump.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is even more offensive than that. And the people down there loved him. They elected him with no problem.
That's wild.
He's crazy.
Maybe they elect him in fear. Like everyone else is here.
Yeah, very well possible. So, I mean, I wouldn't say the Philippines is like a good place or a fun or a free place to live necessarily. I'm sure like most places, if you're a wealthy gringo, you know, you can be left alone if you live in your, you know, your gated community and
or
pay off the cops.
Barry Cooper likes to call his million peso house.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I heard like one of the biggest commodities were black market commodities out in the Philippines is a block of steel.
Why?
Because you can't import guns, so a block of steel could be made into a gun. So it's highly sought after.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hold up. Speakerphone. I'm runner up. So, anyways, did I bring up that there's an attempt to pay our state legislatures full-time salary here?
Oh, God. No, you haven't brought that up, but it doesn't surprise me. They're trying to increase the salary of the legislators in New Hampshire. By the way, New Mexico, there's not a lot to like about New Mexico, but one thing that they do in New Mexico that is good is it is a part-time legislature, if I recall correctly. They don't meet full-time, do they, Sarah?
Well, they meet 1 year, 30 days 1 year, and then 2 months the year afterwards. And definitely this is the time, I mean, the session was working pretty well like 100 years ago when New Mexico first became a state, what, in 1919 or something, because there was nothing really to govern, and everybody just owned their own ranch, and if somebody, everybody made their own rules, and that they come and stole their cows, just shot them or hung them or whatever they did back then.
Okay.
So, but these 1 month and 2 month sessions don't cut it anymore, because
See, this is what I don't understand, Sarah. I mean, New Mexico is known as being an incredibly corrupt, incredibly big government kind of place. And so I guess it's proof, because in New Hampshire, it's a part-time legislature as well. Now, they meet roughly 4 or 5 months out of the year, I think, typically, depending. It's mostly like in the first 3 months of the year is when most of the hearings and that sort of thing happen. But it just goes to show that even though we libertarian types might like the idea of a part-time legislature, it's not enough for them to just be part-time, because even though New Mexico is a part-time legislature, they've got a huge government, a huge welfare state. There's all kinds of government programs that they pass. So even though they only meet 2 months or whatever per year, they do a lot of damage in just that 2 months' time. So clearly,
well, also,
that's not the only factor. It has to do with the culture. It has to do with the fact that New Hampshire has that freedom-minded culture, has that small government-minded culture, and you guys don't.
Well, the thing about it is that you're right. I mean, New Mexico has always been the poorest, the dumbest, the stupidest, and the clumsiest, and the bottom of the list. And the thing about it is that it's never enough time to do any proper legislature. They just do
God, I can't imagine how much worse it would be if they actually were there for more time. Is that what the proposal is? Does not only pay them more, but to actually allow them to meet for more time?
Well, I do not know that part of it. They want to make it at least $50,000 a year so they could pay a house mortgage, a car payment, but with a livable salary. So somebody that's serious like yourself, somebody with a degree, that would take these jobs and raise a family, because all they get is retirees or people that are really wealthy that could afford to do all this, and that's not representing the whole population.
Well, I believe, and I've said this before, and I'm going to continue to say it, I've said it for years, is that if you're going to work for the public, you should not get paid. You should be doing it at the kindness of your heart, because you actually feel true about what you're doing, and that is the motivator into making this world a better place. Your motivator should not be because I want a salary. Mm-hmm. That's just going to create career politicians.
Corruption.
Continue their job.
Yeah, and you've already got enough of a problem with these $100 a year legislators. I mean, it is a more citizen legislature here in New Hampshire, and I think that that's ultimately a good thing. You raise those rates, and you'll start getting more professional liars, more lawyers, more politician types in there, whereas there's a lot of people that just come in, they do 2 years, and then they go back to work. And that's a much more of a service-oriented position. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. We got more coming up. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Joe Biden this coming weekend making his first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border since taking office.
I will visit the border myself this Sunday in El Paso to assess border enforcement operations meet with the local officials and community leaders.
On Thursday, Biden announced also changes to the pandemic-era Title 42 policy to expand the government's ability to expel illegal immigrants from Central America and some parts of South America. A California congressman-elect says Democrats in the U.S. House are happy to work a deal out with more liberal Republicans for the speakership. Tom McClintock said the Democratic conference will vote to approve for any GOP taker, but they have some requests.
And by the way, here's our list of demands. We want to have no significant investigations of the administration or past policies. We want half of the committee chairmanships.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Joa.
And joining us remotely,
Reed Coverdale.
Reed is here as well. Don't forget, you can check both of these guys out. They have their own channels out there. Joa is Breaking the Flaw on both Odyssey and YouTube. Reed is Naturalist Capitalist on also both Odyssey and YouTube. So make sure you go and check those guys out. You can find our channel, which is Free Talk Live, over at video.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to our Odyssey channel, and then you can use that search bar to search for Breaking the Flaw and for Naturalist Capitalist. Get more of these guys when you get a chance.
You'll enjoy my channel. There's a lot of good stuff on.
Yeah, I think so. So let's see. We were talking about the January 6th thing. Reed, did you feel like you got your thoughts out on that, or was there more you wanted to say about the anniversary coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, just do everything you can to belittle the media's commemoration of the date, because, I mean, if anything should be remembered about January 6th, it really should just be that your politicians can still be afraid of you sometimes. I mean, Justin O'Donnell did a great rant. It's on the Free State Live YouTube channel. He did a rant at Porkfest about the right to revolution that is written into the New Hampshire Constitution, and how January 6th was the only day that he's seen in his entire life where the government was reminded that they do fear us still if, you know, things get bad enough. So the spirit of January 6th of, like, terrifying your legislators if they're stealing from you and ruining your life. I think that's a great sentiment to have, but the thing was a joke, so don't let people gaslight you into thinking it was a terrorist attack.
Yeah, I like where you're pointing, where you're coming from on that, because as an advocate of peace, I don't think that violence is the solution. And the people at January 6th were not violent. They just went on an unauthorized tour of a building that was ostensibly their quote-unquote building, right? We keep getting told, as we're growing up in this country, we're told that, oh, well, you are the government, and we're all part of this, and, you know, all this mythology that is total BS, of course. And then, you know, when they decide they want to go off the beaten path from the tour guide at the Capitol building and go and see their own version of, you know, the tour, then it's called this dramatic thing, and it's an insurrection and this and that. It's like they didn't threaten anybody. They didn't hold a gun to somebody's head. There weren't any, I don't think any of them even, you know, there was never even an allegation that the crowd was armed in any significant manner.
Not that I noticed.
Unless you count the podium as an arm.
Well, that Buffalo guy, he had horns, man. He could charge somebody or something. So.
He looks scary.
He does.
So, yeah, I think that's a great point. And the fact is those politicians were deathly afraid of just people.
Yep.
They weren't doing anything of violence. They were the one who were being, violence was being used against them. There was a guy that, this cop shot this woman to death in a hallway over there in a stairwell or something. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. That just goes to show how cowardly these politicians truly are. When they were not under any sort of threat whatsoever, they were literally cowering and hiding. And that is it. That is who they truly are, those people.
Yeah, good. God forbid you ever see them on the front lines of the wars that they're starting.
No, that's why they send children, right? Like, they send people's kids to go and die for them.
Yeah.
Because they are cowards.
But they will condemn the violence on January 6th that, you know, didn't happen aside from what they committed. But bomb Syria 2 weeks later.
So let's go back to a few more of these Gallup poll numbers here. We've got the people in the United States are not looking. They don't have rose-colored glasses on about the immediate future, at least. 8 out of 10 U.S. adults, according to Gallup, think 2023 is going to be a year of economic difficulty with higher rather than lower taxes and a growing rather than shrinking budget deficit. So Americans think, 8 out of 10 Americans think the government's going to spend more money than it brings in, which is completely believable. Like, these people are making a sane decision here.
And forever the government ever existed.
Right. More than 6 out of 10 think prices will rise at a high rate. Because remember, the money that they were spending, we were talking earlier tonight about the 2020 Trump signed government giveaway bills of over $2 trillion. Remember that we were just, you know, getting into that. And it takes time for that money to kind of get filtered into the economy. It goes to, like, the politically connected corporations.
Defense contractors.
Right, it goes to the military-industrial complex, and eventually they buy things with it, and eventually that kind of trickles down and it increases the prices. But it doesn't happen overnight. So, and I don't know how long it takes. You know, it may be that we're now experiencing the inflation, the real kind of strength of it, from what happened back in 2020.
Well, there's going to be a point where no one's going to be able to catch up to it, even those that are, you know, like upper middle class. They're going to be constantly fighting to try to make do. And
you mean they're going to lose their quality of life. They're going to lose the buying power of their dollar and their net, the raises to whatever kind of increase in pay that they might receive is not going to catch up.
Well, yeah, but Ian, that's the silver lining of inflation is higher wages. Didn't you read that headline?
Right. Hey, everybody's making $15 an hour now. Of course, it doesn't buy what $10 an hour used to buy.
Right. Well, I guess what I was saying is, like, you know, the upper middle class is really the breaking point for all this, because once they realize, okay, I can't pay for my life insurance, my health insurance, all the insurances, and they were like, all right, we were setting goals for savings so I can send my kids to college. When they can't reach these goals, and, like, yes, they'll still put food on the table, but when they reach these sort of financial goals that they were setting for all these years, and they get that breaking point, then they're going to get really concerned, and that's when things are going to really happen. Where who knows what ultimately is going to happen to their homes, and it's going to be wild times.
Well, home prices may be coming down soon. That's a very, very realistic possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a good buying opportunity for somebody that's ready for that. But
do you think it's going to be as dramatic as 2008, the housing crisis? Or
man, I have no idea. Like, see, I'm not like
that was a targeted like sort of movement. Like that's where the like it was the breakdown is because they were funneling the money specifically for housing. So now it's like a broad spectrum of
it's just a market crash across the board.
Right.
Larger recession. Everyone bought more way than they should have.
Yeah, I know the banks back then were just issuing loans to anyone that could fog a mirror, and I don't think they've gone completely back to that policy since that time, but I'm not a bank loan guy, so I can't really say. That's an excellent question, Reed, and if there's anybody out there that really knows how to look at the financials of a situation, I'd love to hear about it. The number is 603-283-6160. They say here over half of Americans are predicting unemployment will increase in 2023, which seems almost impossible. I mean, every time I look around, I was in Concord today. I was had a meeting with my attorney, and we like to go out to grab lunch whenever we're in Concord at the Red Arrow, which is a really cool like 24-hour diner. And every time I'm there, I always we're looking outside out the window, and every place that has a marquee says now hiring. Every single place. And it's been like that for over a year. So they haven't been able to hire, apparently, whoever it is that they're looking to hire. Like the Red Arrow's hiring all positions.
I feel like this is like a choke-out point for small business and mom-and-pop business. And it's going to just completely eradicate that. It's just going to be corporate. It's all going to be corporate business.
It's going to be easier for them to survive. That's what happened under the COVID restrictions.
Exactly.
Let's see what else here. The domestic front. 90% of Americans say 2023 will be a year of political conflict in the U.S. Well, that's a guarantee. 72% think the crime rate will rise, which is true. If prices are going up, people are going to be more desperate. And the reality is, even people who are not of a criminal mentality are more likely to engage in stealing and things like that if they feel like they're desperate, if they feel like they can, they're not making ends meet.
I see the cops over in Market Basket in Manchester all the time now because people steal.
Shoplifting?
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. I was even accused once. I thought I was going to get arrested.
Wow.
Because they're willing to hire anybody, right? And they hired someone that barely spoke English, and she didn't explain to me well that, this is not a produce line, we can't weigh the food, which I found out later. Huh. And I had a pepper and an onion that I didn't pay for, but she bagged it and put it into my bag, right?
And they called the cops on you?
Well, the cops were right there. I'm like, I'm not going to purposely steal in front of cops. Mm-hmm. And, like, I thought I paid for it and everything. I'm like, we're all good, right? Wow. And she's like, yep, you're all set, or something to that degree. I couldn't understand her. Mm. A little bit of a numbskull. I even said to the manager when they came out. I'm outside. I'm eating my sushi. Like, it's not like I didn't buy
it. You didn't make a run for it, huh?
No, I was standing out there because I'm like, I might have gotten some footage, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just hanging out there to see if anything was going to happen. And before I could really put a piece of sushi in my mouth, they're running toward me. And I'm like, what? Like, what'd I do? And they're like, let me check your receipt. And I'm like, okay, like, I didn't do anything.
This is cops or the management of the store?
The manager and a cop that was there. And, it's just ridiculous.
So like, what happened?
Well, they took my pepper and onion back. And they're like, do you want to pay for that? I'm like, no, I'm not waiting in the line, and this is just ridiculous. So I don't know if I even want to shop here anymore.
Wow.
And I do go back there. But
they didn't arrest you.
They didn't arrest me.
That's good.
I was just like, baloney. Anyway,
64% of Americans believe the U.S. power in the world will decline, which would be a good thing.
Great.
73% think China's power will increase. However, 64% of Americans expect Russia's power in the world will decrease in 2023, likely a reflection of that country's recent setbacks in the war against Ukraine. Or at least that's what the mainstream media keeps saying. I don't know. Do you buy that, Reed? Do you buy the claim that Russia's having all this trouble in Ukraine and they're getting defeated left and right?
Well, I was talking to my brother about this the other day. I don't think that the media is accurately reporting on what Russia's goals are. I mean, they're still reporting as though Russia's goal is to take over all of Ukraine.
Never was.
I don't think that's ever been the goal. So, I mean, I don't think that they're having an easy time, but I don't think they're just getting absolutely smashed. And on top of that, even if they are you know, getting hammered. It's because we've given Ukraine over $100 billion in aid. Yep. So like I was telling my brother, I was like, if it's true that Ukraine is just completely demolishing Russia, why did we just give them $45 billion more dollars? If they're demolishing Russia, then they should be completely fine on their own, but they're begging for more money and more weapons all the time. So I don't think that that narrative is completely accurate myself.
I mean, obviously there's a bunch of that money just rolling into the pockets of Zelensky and all of his connected buddies or whatever. Who knows how much of it actually ends up in the form of missiles or tanks or whatever it is that they're supposedly buying with it. David is in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Breaking the flaw, breaking the flaw. I was going to ask Joe a question, but you reminded me of a story, which is worth telling because it's educational. Joe, your shoplifting accusation. I was in a similar store, and I was in a Walgreens. This was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the manager comes up to me, and he says, can I have my bottle back? And what I had done is I'd walked into the store, and I put my backpack in the cart because I did not want my backpack ripped off of my vehicle, because that's where the valuables are, is in the backpack. So I brought it in the store, put it in the cart, and I went into the liquor section of a Walgreens, and I put a couple bottles in my cart, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I don't think I can take these bottles out of the liquor section without paying for them. So I put them back and went over to the regular section and got my items.
Is that a thing in New Mexico where you can't leave the liquor section of the store without buying the liquor?
No, it's probably a Walgreens thing. They want you to pay at their register in the liquor section before you take the bottles out of the liquor section.
Oh, okay.
I put them back, and I'm in the regular section getting my things, and the manager comes over to me he's a general manager. He says, can I have my bottles back? He's accusing me of stealing, right? And so I go, I don't have your bottles. And he goes, yes, you do. And I said, call the cops. And so he goes in the back room, and I wait about 10 minutes, and he comes back out, and I said, you called the cops, right? And he wouldn't answer me. And I said, I don't think you called the cops. So I called the cops. I called the dispatch, and I said, you know, you got to get over here because this guy's accusing me of shoplifting. So the cop shows up about 20 minutes later, and I say to him, you need to go through my bag and my person and make sure that I don't have this bottle as described, like, and the manager's standing right there. And I said, that's the description of the bottle you're looking for, right? And he said, yeah. And so the cop does what I instruct him to do, looks through my bag, and he doesn't check my person because there's nowhere for a half gallon of liquor bottle to be on my person. And he says, nope, nothing here. I also refused to move out of the view of where I knew there were security cameras, and I did all of my business in this tone of voice so that every customer in the store would know that the manager falsely accused me of shoplifting, and they were all like high-fiving me, and even the cop was like, the cop was basically high-fiving me also, although he couldn't do it within a literal high-five. He had to just use some body language to let me know that, hey, well done, son. And anyway,
well done, David.
The manager left me alone after that.
Yeah, I didn't stop eating sushi too when the cop and the manager came over to me, and I had like a mouthful, and I'm talking to him, and then people were asking me afterwards, like, what was going on? I'm like, they're accusing me of stealing, and it's like, good luck in there, you know.
Right.
David, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Yep. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Let's see, what other news you need to know about? Oh, here's an update for you. Over the weekend, there was the news that, and we reported on this, that the Attorney General in the U.S. Virgin Islands had brought a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase. Did you guys hear about that story?
I did.
I did not.
Yeah, so it was getting all this play, like, oh, they're finally going after someone related to Jeffrey Epstein. The claim was that J.P. Morgan Chase sort of looked the other way while Jeffrey Epstein was, you know, laundering money or taking payments for sex with teenage girls or whatever it was that he was allegedly doing with this particular bank account. And so the top prosecutor, the attorney general there, Denise George, had brought an indictment or some sort of, maybe it was a civil case. Looks like it was a, okay, it was a civil case. 30-page lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase saying that they turned a blind eye to evidence of human trafficking over more than a decade because of Epstein's own financial footprint and because of the deals and clients that Epstein brought and promised to bring to the bank. So after filing this lawsuit, guess what happened to the attorney general?
She got fired. Disappeared.
Yeah, no, well, she probably still is alive, but she no longer has
her
job.
I thought she might have hanged herself with her paper sheets while her camera's shut off.
Not yet, at least. No. Well, guess who else was down in the U.S. Virgin Islands while all this was happening?
Who?
Joe Biden.
Oh.
Coincidence? I mean,
that's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, he was on vacation. Yeah. Remember, Reed, we talked about how Joe Biden signed the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill?
Indeed.
They flew that down to him on vacation. They actually brought the physical bill down for him to sign.
All like 5,000 pages.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I don't think he actually has to sign all, 5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
They just give him a binder or whatever, and he signs the...
What, was he afraid of an insurrection or something?
Yeah, even if we had that stipulation that you had to sign every page of the bill, that would even slow it down. You know? Like, if we had to actually print the money... Because we don't really print all this money.
That's true.
Digital.
That would slow it down,
if
too.
If we actually had to physically print it off, like however many trillion it's been over the last, 3 years, I don't think we would have even been physically able to do that in this amount of time.
It'd be quite the photo op to see.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Babka from DownsizedDC.org for two decades now, has been trying to promote this bill that would require Congress to actually read out loud the legislation before they can vote on it. And, I mean, it's a great proposal, but none of these Congress people are ever going to propose that.
I mean, how long does it take to read a million words? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah, well, to put it in perspective, the Bible's about 1,200 pages long. So these bills that are like 5,000 pages, it's like four Bibles.
Yeah, how long that would take, I have no idea. And they wouldn't be able to get away. They wouldn't be able to accomplish it. They'd all fall asleep at some point. It would be just so mind-numbing that
they already fall asleep, you know?
They fired this lady, according to the story at lawandcrime.com. Days after her filing the lawsuit on New Year's Eve, Ms. George was removed from her post. Local news outlets in the Virgin Islands reported the attorney general had not informed the territory's governor about her impending enforcement action. Why would she have to? It's her job. Does the attorney general go in New Hampshire to the governor before the attorney general brings a lawsuit against somebody? I mean, when does that happen? You hire this person to where they can just act and do their crap job, which, I'm not a fan of attorneys general in overall, right? Like, they are the people that bring war on drugs charges and all kinds of other victimless crime charges against people. So, I mean, by no means do I think this person is a good person. They're probably just trying to make some sort of political points by doing this.
She was just doing her job.
Well, the idea that she would need to go and talk to the governor first just doesn't make any sense, but that was what they were saying. She didn't get permission first, and so he fired her over it. Quote, I relieved Denise George of her duties as attorney general this weekend, he wrote in a statement. Saying further, I thank her for her service to the people of the territory during the past 4 years as Attorney General and wish her the best in future endeavors. The governor's spokesman declined to elaborate, saying, quote, I'm not at liberty to discuss details on personnel matters. So the fix is in on that one. Now, what the question is, what's going to happen to the lawsuit, right? Because she filed the suit. It's still in play, technically. It would just be whoever it is that is... Her follow-up, her replacement, in theory, they would then take that suit and either continue it or they would withdraw it from the court system. What do you think's more likely in this situation here?
Nothing's going to happen.
Things that make you go, Yeah, I mean, the whole idea that there's ever going to be any real, quote-unquote, justice in the Epstein case, I mean, is pure fantasy.
Well... Yeah, and every time they've gotten close, they just reach a settlement instead of, some sort of punishment taking place.
Well, supposedly one of Epstein's victims came out recently with a list of elite clientele that she was going to expose. Yeah. Like, it's still...
Do you know who it was?
I thought this would may have been covered, but...
Did she actually name names or just say she
hasn't yet.
Going to?
She's going to. She has a list.
Okay.
Do you know if it's one of the Farmer sisters or Virginia Giuffre or...
I'm not sure.
No? Yeah.
Hmm.
I've been out of the loop on that for a little while, but...
Yeah, that'll be interesting if it actually goes somewhere. Of course, she's probably putting a target on her back by doing something like this. And of course, they're going to. It's just going to be her word. You know, is she going to have? Is she going to have evidence? Like at least with the Epstein, Lolita Express plane, they have an actual flight log, right, where you can say, oh yeah, Bill Clinton was on this flight on this day or whatever. But you know, she's just going to say things, and that's it'll get
the,
some.
The thing that's amazing about this whole situation is once one of the dominoes falls, it's going to be. It's just going to be cascading all over the place. Everyone's going to be incriminated because
each other.
Yeah,
they'll point fingers.
So there's a lot of resistance to that first domino going down because they realize, hey, if you go down, I'm going down, and we're all going down together because you know it's all going to get exposed. But
it is the house of cards that you know should have already been toppled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say I'm optimistic that anything's going to come of this. Like, even if this girl releases a big, long list of people, it's going to be just her word, and that's not going to be enough to... I mean, there's going to be some people that'll get, oh, no, my favorite celebrity was indicted by this woman, but that's not going to be enough to kill their careers. Or, I mean, look what's happened with was it Kevin Spacey, right? Like, I mean, he's been accused of all kinds of stuff, and I bet you he's still going to get acting gigs in Hollywood, right?
Oh, sure. I won't be watching them.
His movies?
Yeah. I actually never really liked anything he was in.
I don't know. I enjoyed
He did play good psychopaths, but...
Maybe there's a reason for that.
Yeah, there's a reason.
He wasn't really acting at all. I mean, it's hard to be optimistic here because the system is so corrupt. You know, even if these names come out, even if it's... Even if they're verified, right? Like, even if there's a way to prove the claims, it's not like, you know, you're going to catch them all, right?
Right,
no.
The whole system attracts psychopaths. The whole system attracts sociopaths. It attracts people that are interested in power over other human beings. And if you, even if you were to put these people in jail, and the odds that that is to happen out of this is near to zero, right? Like, there's the chance that they could be outed. There's a chance that outing them might actually hurt their career. And then there's the chance they could actually go to prison for it. Like, the amount goes down. The chance of those things happening goes down as
the reason why they got away with it already is because they're connected.
We're out of time tonight. Check out these guys, Breaking the Flaw for Joa over at Odyssey and YouTube. Naturalist Capitalist for more of Reed on Odyssey and YouTube. And more Free Talk Live tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget amp.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.